yourselves know how I have lived among you the entire time from the first day I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears, enduring the trials that came to me through the plots of the Jews. I did not shrink from doing anything helpful, proclaiming the message to you and teaching you publicly and from house to house. As I testified to both Jews and Greeks about repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus. And now, as a captive to the Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and persecutions are waiting for me. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
This church is an amazing church, and there's so many volunteers and so many people that step forward to do so much. I want to read in your hearing the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 24 through 30. A dispute also arose among them, to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, "The kings and the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must be like the youngest, and the leader like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer unto you, as my Father has conferred unto me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on the thrones judging the tribes of Israel." May the Lord add a rich blessing to the reading, the hearing of God's holy word. May it sink deep down and bring forth much fruit, the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Most gracious God, I am a sinner saved by your grace, a broken vessel. But I know all you have to do is say the word, and I shall be healed long enough to do your work and to do your will. Lord, I pray that you would hide this preacher behind the cross, that your people might see you and not me, that they might hear you and not me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I want to challenge your thinking with the thought, what kind of leader will you become? What kind of leader will you become? When I was in the Marine Corps, I was told by my lieutenant to go ahead and sound liberty call for my troops. But I had this thought that I wanted to see them in their civilian attire. And so I told them, go and get dressed in their civilian attire and come back to formation, and I'd sound liberty call and I'd let them go. But when they started coming out of the barracks, the first Marine, I was shocked by what I saw. He was wearing a T-shirt that said, "It's a white thing and you wouldn't understand it." And I was trying to get to him, and I saw another Marine come out, and he had on, "It's a black thing and you wouldn't understand it." And so I had a junior Marine bring a large metal trash can to the front of the formation, and I set the trash on fire. And then I called the Marines to attention, put them at parade rest, and I said to those two Marines, come forward. When they came forward, I told them to take the T-shirts off, and I showed them to the entire platoon. And I said, I talked to them Marine to Marine. Y'all know what I mean when I say I talked to them Marine to Marine, right? Now, I can't say everything that I said because we in church. But can I demonstrate for you a little bit how I talked to them? Listen up, Marines. These two Marines apparently missed the lessons of their boot camp experience. And they failed to get the lesson that we are a team. Somehow they missed that. In 18 weeks of boot camp, they seem to miss it. I said, you are no longer individuals. Marines are forged in a furnace of shared hardship and tough training. Yes, shared intense experience that creates a bond so strong between Marines that nothing can stop us from accomplishing our mission, even these misguided T-shirts. Do you understand? And they yell back, yes, Sergeant. Marines are trained not only to be physically and mentally superior, but morally as well. Do you understand? Yes, Sergeant. The Marines are the bedrock and the character. Marines are formed in the bedrock of any Marine's character are the core values such as honor, courage, loyalty, and commitment. Semper Fidelis means that we're always faithful to one another. And if not, men die. Do you understand? Yes, Sergeant. And I took those T-shirts, very expensive shirts, and I threw them in the trash can. And we stood there for a second as we watched them burn. And I called the formation to attention. Attent! Huh! Fall out. And the Marines went on liberty call, but guess who didn't go on liberty call? We had two Marines who needed to work it out. They needed to understand that we are indeed a team. Now, I share this story with you because as we look at the text, we have 12 disciples that seem to also miss the teachings. They have been with Jesus for 3 years. They had seen him heal. They seen him deliver folks. They seen him raise folks from the dead. They ate with Jesus. They walked with him. And yet they seem to also miss the teachings. Jesus wanted his disciples to learn how to work with each other and to work as a combined effort regardless of their differences. He wanted his disciples to find the best methods for success, thus finding the group's true purpose, which is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And it all boiled down to who is the greatest. They seem to miss the teachings. My friends, the scene is the Last Supper. You know, sometimes we don't take advantage of the time that we have, and it was the Last Supper. They didn't know that it would be the last time that they would really have a meal with Jesus. But it was the Last Supper. And while they argued, Jesus says, you don't understand. My kingdom is going to be different than the kingdom that you're talking about. You see, in my kingdom, whoever wants to be the greatest must be a servant. And so my question is, are you a servant this morning? Do you have a servant's heart? You know that the rulers and the Gentiles lorded over them, the high officials exercised authority over them, but not so with you. If you want to be the greatest, be a servant. If you want to be first, be a slave. In other words, if you want to be great In my kingdom, you got to have a servant's heart. My friends, I don't know about you, but watching the reports, there's so many people that I want to say thank you to. When I think about being a servant, I thank God for Laura Griggs. Thank God for Brenda Woodward. I thank God for Klaus Worley. Thank God for Susan Clark, Margaret Taylor. Thank God for all of my staff. But I thank God because the people in this church are just incredible in terms of the volunteers that come every week just to serve. Every week they come and they say, what else do you need? It's a servant's heart. Remember, the scene is the upper room. Jesus takes the bread and he breaks it and he says, this is my body which is given for you. And he takes the cup and he says, this is the cup of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins, as often as you eat this bread. And we're going to do that in just a minute. But when he finished, they had taken the bread. They had taken the wine. Jesus leaves the room. But when he comes back, he's got a towel wrapped around his waist and he's carrying a basin of water. And he's going to wash the disciples' feet. You know, this was a task that you wouldn't think the master would do. You remember back in those days, they didn't have closed-toe shoes, and it was usually sandals, and it was dirt roads. And so before you went into somebody's homes, whether it was for business or whether it was personal, you washed your feet. I could imagine, I don't know if you will imagine with me, that the disciples are still arguing. You know how we do when your mother say, enough, or your father say, I don't want to hear it no more. And you wait till they leave the room. As soon as they leave the room, you get started again. Amen? And so rather than throwing a shoe at them or a sandal at them, Jesus girded himself with a towel. And he began to wash their feet. Y'all remember in John chapter 13 where Peter says, no, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. And Peter was saying, you're the master. Why would you get down and wash our dirty, cruddy feet? It's not a job for the master. You're the teacher. Jesus says, that's precisely why I'm going to do it. You got to remember what this is about. You remember that you've just taken the Lord's Supper. And y'all begin to argue at the table. And what I want you to know more than anything else, to be a servant. Listen, my friends. Jesus became nothing. He made himself low so that they would understand what it meant to be a servant. And what an incredible gift to us. Because maybe we never looked at communion and thought about the foot washing and thought about how significant it was that he would wash the disciples' feet. He would take on this menial task and become a servant. And as we take communion today, maybe we'll ask ourselves the question, Lord, what more can I do for you? What is it that you would have me to do? Let me lay my pride aside so that I can be a true servant of the King. Amen? And this is what God wants us to do. Sometimes, you know, my mother would look at me and she would say, it's not all about you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's not all about you. In the Marine Corps, we would say, we run as fast as the slowest man. It's not about me getting there. It's about all of us getting there together. I had some other scriptures that I was going to read and do a parody on it, but I'm not going to do that. I want us to think about communion and what it means.